If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, everybody. So I have some fun, exciting news for the podcast today. We did our first ever live show. So earlier this week, a bunch of folks from Atlas Obscura were down in Hot Springs, Arkansas for the solar eclipse. We were holding a giant festival. You have probably heard me talking about the eclipse and the festival on the show before. Well, I was there. We did a bunch of taping. We released a same-day episode, just a couple episodes back on Monday, with people's reaction, with my experience there. And we also did this one, this live podcast episode. It was really fun, a bit of an experiment for us. And we may do it again. Maybe you could even come to one of our live shows next time. That would be fun. Okay, sit back and enjoy. This is Atlas Obscura Live. Two places and a lie.
You good? Let's do it. All right.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Dylan Thuris. I'm the co-founder of Atlas Obscura. I want to start by just saying thank you for being here. I know that you guys have been seeing a lot of cool rock and roll music and funny comedians, but I know what you've really been waiting for is for someone to perform a podcast, a primarily audio format, live in front of you on stage. To tell you a little bit about what's going to happen here today, normally I record this show in my downstairs bathroom shower stall. It's an extremely glamorous life of a podcaster. But not today. Today we are here in the full sun. And so I'm going to take full advantage of this because normally I don't have an audience to do this with. So when I go like this, yeah, you guys get it. Wait, one more time. So when I go like this, that works really well. It's when I do it in my shower stall, it doesn't work at all. Okay, we are doing a little bit of a game show. So the Atlas Obscura database is full of tens of thousands of unusual places. Some of them are hard to believe that they really exist in this world. We have two incredible guests here today. We have Dr. Graham Lau and Rebecca Boyle. They are both incredible, brilliant scientists. So I'm going to tell these two brilliant people, I'm going to give them three places. Two of them will be real places. One of them will be completely made up. They will pick what is fake. They are welcome to query the audience to get help from you. You're welcome to shout out what you think is BS, what you think is true. I'm Team Earth. I'm the solo here. Actually, you're on my team. We're all Team Earth. And then these are my opponents here. This is Team Space, and they are going to do the same thing to me. They're going to talk about three space-based places, and then I'm going to have to figure out which one is fake. Have we shamelessly stolen this format from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me? We have. But while they have Peter Sagal, we have a once-in-a-lifetime cosmic concurrence. So, suck it, Sagal. Yeah! Okay. So without further ado, I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. And I'm coming to you live from beautiful Hot Springs, Arkansas. Today, an astrobiologist, a science writer, and I walk into a live podcast, hoping to flex our knowledge of different places across the universe. Will they be able to detect the fake place in the atlas? Will I solve the cosmic mystery? Will you help us? Today, we go where no one has gone before. Atlas Obscura Live. So let's meet our guests. These people are incredible people. They have both given unbelievable talks over this weekend. So Dr. Graham Lau is an astrobiologist and science communicator with a background in biology, chemistry, astrophysics, and geology. Calm down, please. And he hosts the NASA Astrobiology Program, Ask an Astrobiologist Show on YouTube, director of the University Rover Challenge, which sounds very cool, and widely known for his public talks and thought-provoking insights on humanity's place in the cosmos. So we will see about this today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with all of you. The music, the talks, everything is awesome. And now we get to try to stump Dylan with some space knowledge. So yes. That's awesome.
Impossible. And the second member of Team Space is Rebecca Boyle. Rebecca is an incredible writer, science reporter. She's reported from particle accelerators, genetic sequencing labs, bat caves, and some of Earth's largest telescopes. Any preference among those for a favorite place to have reported from?
Definitely the inside of a telescope.
The inside of a telescope, yes. And her book, her new book, Our Moon, How Earth's Celestial Companion Transformed the Planet, Guided Evolution, and Made Us Who We Are, was named a New York Times Editor's Choice. Everyone give a warm round of applause for Dr. Graham Lau and Rebecca Boyle. At some point, Rebecca, and not too long, Rebecca has to do a live interview with WNYC, so she may subtly slip off stage and then may come back. We'll find out. Okay. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
We're ready.
Have you talked amongst yourselves about how you're going to try and figure this out?
No, we don't have a strategy. No, we're confident enough to have no strategy.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Great. Okay. Here are going to be three places. I'm going to start with number one. There's not much on this planet that is more satisfying than the instant gratification of a vending machine. Pop in a couple of dollars, and in seconds, you get a snack. But inside of an unassuming garden nursery in Minneapolis, Minnesota, there's a different kind of vending machine. One entirely full of dirt. Meet the So and Go. It's a vending machine installed to pump out soil for every single occasion. It offers six varieties. It's got potting soil, garden bed soil, high fertilizer, succulents, flowers, fruit. Today we head to Minneapolis to get down and dirty at the microbiologist turned avid gardener's vending machine that started it all and learn why access to this kind of soil can change our communities as we know them. That's after this. It's place one. Okay. I don't know if you have it. Could we do the music for place two? Yeah? It feels so good to do it with the music. All right. It's okay. So here's place two. What if the cure for all that ails you is as simple as repeated exposure to low-dose radon? Well, deep in the hills of Montana, there's a place where you can test that out for yourself. This place is the Merry Widow Mine, a gold mine turned spa that promises to restore your health with radioactive gas. The gold mine was once home not to countless widows, but to miners who lived very long lives, at least according to the marketing materials. Today we go to the Merry Widow Mine to inhale some sweet, sweet radon. Oh, and no. If you really want to do it right, you inhale it again and again over the course of 32 one-hour treatments over 10 days. Once again, as per recommended by these marketing materials. Okay, that is place number two. And I'm gonna use my superpower again. This is really good. Okay, finally, place number three. In the town of Chuquito, Peru, you'll find an ancient temple with a very specific sacred object. In a sprawling, walled-off garden, you can wander through rows and rows of stone sculptures of one thing. This is the Chucuto Temple of Fertility, full entirely of stone penises, nearly 100 of them. The sculptures come in all sizes, some 5 feet tall, some pretty short, which is not a big deal. They're totally effective sculptures. How would this garden lead to success in fertility? Well, any tour guide will take you through a stroll of the phalluses, and they will tell you that long ago, folks would become pregnant after mounting the monoliths and being doused in chicha, traditional Peruvian corn beer. And for more than half a century, archaeologists and anthropologists have studied this temple of fertility and decided after some debate, it is in fact a hoax. It was not created by some ancient group from long ago, but someone much more recent who took a lot of stones and rearranged them in the shape of penises. Nonetheless, they have been charging tourists to enter the temple, and who can blame them? It feels great to belong to a place that's members only. Today we head to the Chichuto Temple of Fertility to try to untangle the mystery of the stone phalluses. So,
those are your last time
for the third one.
These all three sound like things that could be real.
They're all weird enough to make it into the Atlas.
Yeah.
And surprising enough to be believable.
Yeah.
But I think I feel like one of them might be the most plausible for the year 2024. I don't know. Do you have a favorite?
So, I don't know. Like, sow and go makes sense to me. I could see people just showing up with a pot or like farmers who need some soil for growing various things. That makes a lot of sense to me. I've been to the Penis Museum in Iceland, in Reykjavik, the phallological museum. And so there is a lot of love for phalluses amongst people. So I could see that too.
Yeah, that one also seems believable. I feel like the soil one is probably my favorite as far as plausibility.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, and I feel like radon. So there was a point in time, long before we had Monster Energy and Red Bull and all this stuff, that people would drink radioactive material. But I feel like that's the least believable of the three.
Although walking through hot springs yesterday, you see all these like steam baths, and I learned about a thing called a vapor cabinet where people would like put their entire body from the neck down into a like steel case and then wrap a towel around your neck. So all that is visible is your head. And the steam in there was like 140 degrees Fahrenheit. And it was supposed to make you sweat out the toxins. Like that is really hot. I would definitely have a stroke, I think. And so, but that was not long ago and people thought that was effective. So I don't know. The radon thing is also plausible, but I feel like any more people would know that wasn't real. Like that could have been a thing in like the 40s maybe. But I think by now people would know that that's gonna not be good for your health.
My favorite hot springs note was like, why did the baseball players come here? It's like they drank very heavily and felt that the spas would help them.
They would help them cure their impurities.
I relate to this. All right, so what did you have a guess? Are you making a does anyone out there
the
think they
what
know
do you guys think?
Anyone want to shout out what they think it is? Number two.
I'm hearing radon and phallus.
I think those are both popular options.
I'm feeling like the radon.
I think
the
radon is the untrue.
One.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel like I feel like someone could try to market that, but I might get sued. Yeah. How do you avoid that in modern society?
All right. Are we ready for the answer?
Yeah.
We're saying two.
Number two, the radon. Well, I'm happy to inform you that you two can check into the Merry Widow spa, a radon treatment spa.
Oh, no.
That is an active place that you can go and experience. You could also go and try and find fertility in the great stone garden of hoax penises.
Okay.
That is also true. Amazingly, the soil is not a thing, but it does feel like it could be.
That was totally believable.
We were kind of like, oh, we should probably, someone should just do this. This is a good, fun idea.
Yeah.
But that is the untrue one. But I felt like your reasoning was sound. It does seem insane that there's a place called the Merry Widow Spa where you get radon treatments in Montana.
People are breathing radon on purpose, which is bizarre.
Well, good. Excellent work playing. Thanks for playing along, everybody.
Thank you all.
And are you leaving?
Yes. Okay. I have to leave the stage now.
Bye, Rebecca.
Bye, everybody.
Graham, now it's just me and you. Yep. Mano y mano.
And then there were two.
Yeah. All right, so.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's hear your three
places.
All right, Team Space has got this. All right. So number one. Someone once said, climbing Everest is 50% luck, 30% mental strength, 10% physical strength, and 10% technical skills.
Ha, Mount Everest does exist. I know this one.
Well, climbing Verona Rupes is all that, and it is also largely impossible. Towering 20 kilometers above the surface of Uranus's smallest known moon, Verona, is the tallest known cliff in the solar system. It stands more than twice as tall as Earth's Everest is above sea level. But the formidable height of Verona Rupes hasn't stopped interstellar adventurer Schmielen Schmuris from publicly declaring a goal of summiting the mountain in 2030. But what motivates the space mountaineer isn't so much the climb, but the descent. Because Verona Rupes has a very little gravity, the leap from the peak to the ground below, about 10 times the distance of jumping from the top of the Grand Canyon, will take you 12 minutes of freefall. That is a long time to enjoy the views of the icy terrain over a surface where temperatures hover around a balmy negative 335 degrees Fahrenheit. Along the way, we'll hear about moon-friendly trail mix, portable space potties, and more. That's after this.
You know, the name Schmielen Schmuris does make me somewhat suspect. and you said this on the moon is Verona? Is that is the
Verona.
A moon of
Uranus.
Of Uranus.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 Number two?
Yeah, number two.
All right, number two. Close your eyes and imagine you're in a new solar system about 65 light years away from your home planet. You, an Earthling, spots something that looks beautiful to you, a little familiar even, a cobalt blue marble swirled with white, peacefully revolving around a K-type star. So far from Earth, you feel a pang of nostalgia. In your interstellar travels, you're ready to make this planet your home away from home. But this exoplanet might not feel the same way about you, dear Earthling. First of all, this world is a behemoth compared to our little rock. HG189773b, that's the name.
Sure.
Is even bigger than our solar system's largest world, Jupiter. It's also so close to its own star that it orbits every 2.2 days. So it's huge, it's hot, and it's a moving fast.
This is a rocky, this is a terrestrial planet?
No, this is gaseous.
Okay. Okay.
But on top of all that, it is gusty. On HG189773b, expect winds at around 5,400 miles per hour. At that blue color is the reflection of silicate in this planet's atmosphere. And silicate, it turns out, when subjected to an atmosphere that can reach 2,400 degrees Fahrenheit, turns into glass. Yes, that's right. If you were to visit the skies of this planetary powerhouse, you'd likely face raining daggers of glass.
Yeah.
Today we venture to a hot Jupiter with a mean streak, the exoplanet where the forecast is always cloudy with a chance of glass. That's after this.
Okay. That's good. I like that.
Good,
I find
right?
it quite believable also.
That sounds
I'm
good, right?
I'm confident that that can exist.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the third one.
Yes.
Number three. At one point or another, we all have to get cozy with the idea of the circle of life. That's all of us, the lions and the Lion King. And yes, even our own sun will not live forever. But there's one special pocket of the universe that takes that idea to the extreme. This is the Milagro Nebula, a stellar nursery that is also a stellar morgue. Even though it's only 10 light years across, this nebula is popping out baby stars like crazy while burying its own dead at an alarming rate. Spotted by JWST, the James Webb Space Telescope, at a distance of about 85 light years away from us, this star-forming cloud births out O-type stars. They're so big that they burn through all of their fuel fast. In less than 10,000 years, they fuse their hydrogen and their helium to other elements, quickly causing pressure to oscillate inside the core and go into a supernova. And then the cycle of birth and death continues. Think of the Milagro Nebula like the Ravager funeral at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's like a cosmic fireworks display. Today we head to the Phoenix of stellar nurseries and meet the huge stars that subscribe to the life ethos, live fast, die young. But definitely not to YOLO. That's all after this.
Yeah! All right, those are really good three places. So, okay. I think I have a strong and confident answer.
Okay.
But I want to ask if anyone thinks they know which
think?
One. Just hold up. Either yell at the number, maybe. What do you think? One, two, or three? One. I hear ones.
I see a two over there.
See a two. So I feel really, I have a really strong hunch that I'm just going to ignore everyone's
advice. He has a big smile across his face right
now.
I
think it's three. There is not a nebula popping out supernova stars at a super fast rate. I feel like I would know if that, like a giant cliff on a distant moon seems plausible. I've never heard of it before. The crazy glass planet, totally believable. The atmospheres of these giant gas giants are just wild. But I do feel, I don't know, I feel like I would, it just seems like there's something about that that strikes me as incorrect, improbable. Too fast, where's all the gas coming from? I don't know. What's going on?
You're asking all the right questions.
Yeah. Am I, so?
It is number three.
Yeah!
He's right.
Gotcha.
Verona Rupes really is the tallest cliff in our solar system.
That's cool.
And you really
could go base jumping. I had never heard of that.
It would be incredible. There's a really wonderful video out there you can watch. Eric Vernquist made this short film called Wonders, where he uses some of what Carl Sagan wrote about in The Pale Blue Dot to kind of explore future human exploration of our solar system. And he has a really cool clip of like a human animation like jumping off the cliff. It's really beautiful.
What is the gravity there like?
Extremely low. Yeah, so it'd be very much lower than our own moon.
Like what would be the experience of even falling?
Yeah, it wouldn't be like free fall where you feel like terminal velocity, you know, at 121 miles an hour.
You'd like float down.
It'd basically, you just soft float.
That sounds nice.
Yeah,
that sounds gentle.
It'd be very calming.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was really good. So thanks for hanging out with us for the Atlas Obscura Live podcast. Thanks,
yeah,
Graham.
That was fun.
Those were great ones. I really appreciate it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
That was the first ever Atlas Obscura Live from Hot Springs, Arkansas. Two places and a lie. Thank you to Abby Peralt for everything you did to get this live show on air today. And to Valley of the Vapors and our partners down in Hot Springs for hosting us and help us put on that crazy eclipse festival. We had a great time, and we are excited to do more of this kind of thing. All right, we'll see you next time. Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The production team includes
Doug Baldinger, Chris
Naka, Camille Stanley, Manolo Morales,
Baudelaire, Gabby Gladney,
Johanna Mayer. Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was mixed by
Luce Fleming.
I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I will see you soon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The world isn't wide enough for those with an insatiable desire for discovery. The all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid SUV offers the power and freedom to explore further and deeper than ever before. Intuitive, smart features ensure that you're always connected to the road ahead. Inside, a thoughtfully designed cabin immerses you in a universe that is all your own. The larger-than-life panoramic display spans the entire width of the cabin. It's customizable and interactive. Drivers can even personalize their backgrounds with a series of nature-inspired themes. This vehicle signals the arrival of an exciting new chapter for Lincoln. Discover more about the 2024 Lincoln Nautilus at Lincoln.com.